All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Melah Aleph Amud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara here is continuing to discuss what we left off with yesterday, which was Rabbi Meir's opinion, which Reish Lakish made a comment on Rabbi Meir's opinion and said, don't take it at face value, which it looks like Rabbi Meir believes that Mefaglim Bechatzi Matir. That's not really what Rabbi Meir's Shita is based on, but rather it's based on the fact that Kasavar Kolaseh Dat Rishonahu Oseh. Whatever you do subsequent to whatever Makshava that you have during your working with the Korban, then we assume whatever Makshava you had prior, by default, will apply to the Makshavot afterwards. The Nafkamina between those two formulations of what Rabbi Meir's position is, if you believe that Mefaglim Mechatzi Matir, it wouldn't matter where along the process you had the Makhshevet Pigul. Whether you had it up front or you had it at the back end, either way, it would still be Pigul. The way that Reish Lakish formulates Rabbi Meir's opinion, it'd only be Pigul if you had that Makhshava up front. Having that Makhshava up front, then you can apply the Makhshava to the remainder of the Matir, and that's why you end up with Pigul. On the other hand, if you didn't have the Makhshava up front, only in the back end, even according to Rabbi Meir, Ein Mefaglim Bechatzi Matir, and you would not have Pigul on your hands. So that's what we saw from Reish Lakish in Rabbi Meir's opinion yesterday. Now the Gemara brings, Meitevei, we have a question from a Tosefta. The Tosefta picks up in the middle, which is, Bamed Vamim Amurim. When is that true? V'damim anitanim ha-mizbech ha-chitzon. When do we say that there's only Pigul with regards to one matnat dam? That's with regards to a Korban Chatat that is done on the Mizbech ha-chitzon, or any Korban that's done on the Mizbech ha-chitzon. Because there we learned in our Mishnah, there's only a single matana that is me'akev, and that is the first matnat dam that is done on the Mizbeach. So that is the matnat dam that is matir bidyavad at the Korban. And so too, with regards to Makhshevet Pigul, it also is the only matana that has any impact. But that's true of the Korbanot that are brought on Mizbeach HaChitzon. That's not true of Adonim HaNitanim HaMizbeach HaPnimi, all matnot dam that are done on the Mizbeach HaZav or inside of the Heichal or the Kodesh HaKodeshim, Kegon, Arbaim V'Shalosh Shel Yom HaKippurim, the 43 matnot dam that are done in Yom Kippur, V'Achat Asar Shel Par Kohen Mashiach, the 11 of the Par Kohen Mashiach, or V'Achat Asar Shel Par L'Medavar Shel Tzibor, or the 11 of the Parham Davash al Tzibor, Pigel Ben Birishana, Ben Bishniah, Ben Bishlishit, if he had a Machsheret Pigul, whether it was in the first, the second, or the third, Rabbi Meir Omer Pigul, V'chayavin Alav Karet, that is classified as Pigul, and you are Chayav Karet, Chomim Omerim, Ein Bo Karet, Ad Shifagel B'chol Matir. Chomim say that you have to have a Machsheret Pigul throughout the whole Matir, otherwise it's not deemed to be Pigul, and there won't be any Pigul, won't be any Chiyuv Karet. So now let's just go through this quickly. The 43 matnot that we're speaking about in Yom HaKippurim are comprised of the avodah that is associated with the par v'tzair shel Yom HaKippurim. With regards to both the par and the seir of Yom HaKippurim, you have matnot dam that are done inside of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Those are what are known as the matnot dam ben abadim, between the handles of the aron. Then you have the matnot dam that are done on the parochet, which is that you stand outside the Kodesh HaKodeshim, right in front of the parochet, opposite the aron, and there you do matnot dam. Then there's another series of matnot dam that are done on the karnot mizbech hazahav, and then there's a last series that is done on the surface, the top of the mizbech hazahav. If you add all those up, ben abadim, there's a requirement both for the pyre of Yom Kippur and the seir of Yom Kippur, the seir and aseh bifnim, that you do what's called achat damala, v'sheva damata. You might remember that from the liturgy on Yom HaKippurim, where we do the count, achat, achat be'achat, achat v'shtayim. That's to do one and then seven. So that's eight matnot dam that are done, ben abadim, both for the par and for the seir, that equals 16. You step outside the Kodesh HaKodeshim to the Kodesh. You also do there for the par and the seir, achat damala, v'sheva damato. So that's another eight for each, the par and the seir. That gets you an additional 16 for a total of 32. After that, you mix the dam of the seir and the dam of the par together. After they've been mixed together, you do four matnot dam on the karnot mizbeach hazahav. So that's an additional four over the 32. That's 36. And then we just did a couple days ago about the seven matnot dam that are done on the tiharo shel mizbeach. There are seven matnot dam that are done on the surface of the mizbeach. And there you get your total of 43 matnot dam. We'll see later in today's daf that number might change a little bit because there is a machloket about whether you do or don't mix the par and the seir's blood in order to do those matnot dam, as well as whether the shairei adam, that are put on the Yisod HaMa'aravi Shel Mizbeach Chitzon, that those are Me'akev. But this Tosefta clearly believes, like we enumerated here, that the blood of the Paran Seir are mixed before you do the Matnot Dam on Mizbeach Zahav. So that's how you get the 43 Matnot Dam that are done on Yom Kippurim. And as far as the Tosefta notes over here, they're all Me'akev. I mean, every one of them is necessary in order to complete the avoda of Yom HaKippurim. And that's different or differentiated from the korbanot that are brought in the Mizbeach Chitzon, where a single matnat dam would suffice. With regards to the Parkoi Mashiach and Parlam Dabar Shel Tzibur, those are what are otherwise known as the Parim and Nisrafim, or Sirim and Nisrafim. Over there you have 11 matnot dam. That is because you do 7 matnot dam towards the parochet. So you have 7 in front of the parochet, and then you have an additional 4 on the 4 karnot ha-mizbeach. So that's what gives you the 11 associated with each of those. Then you have a statement here in the Tosefta, ben berishona, ben bishnia, ben bishlishit. You have a machshevet pigul, whether it's in the first, second, or third. Truthfully, the simplest way to read this, and the way that the Keren Ora actually attempts to read it, is just to say that it's talking about the first, second, and third matan dam. But Rashi reads it, and we're going to follow Rashi Shita here, as well as the Balei Tosfot and others, that Ben Berishonah, Ben Bishinah, Ben Bishlishit refers to the series of Matnot Dam. As I noted before, there are 4 series of Matnot Dam over here. The first series is done Ben Abadim, that's in the Kodesh HaKodeshim by the Aron. The second series is done in front of the Parochet. The third series is the 4 Matnot Dam on the Karnot Mizbeach Zahav. Then according to Rashi, there's a 4th series, which is the 7 Matnot Dam that are done on the top or the surface of the Mizbeach HaZahav. We'll see, maybe the Baal Tosafot feel otherwise about that. But nevertheless, what the Breda says in the Tosefta is whether he has a Machshev Pigol in the first series, the second series, or the third series. Rabbi Meir Omer, Pigol B'chayel Alav Karet. From that it would sound that Rabbi Meir believes that you can even Fagel B'chatzi Matir. Because now we see that Rabbi Meir makes no differentiation as to whether you have that Machshava in the first series, the second series, or the third series. I mean, it doesn't have to be up front. And that would then not conform to what Reish Lakish says, which is, according to Rabbi Meir, the only way you would have this be true is if you only had the Machshava up front. But if you had Shtika in the first series, and then a Machshava Pigol in the second series, that would not be Pigol, according to Rabbi Meir, the Fi Reish Lakish. That's why it's a challenge to Reish Lakish's opinion. The Chachamim are consistent with their opinion, which is, meaning that there is no such thing as pigul b'chatzi matir. You have to have a machshev pigul throughout the whole process. And for Yom Kippur, that means you have to have a machshev pigul on all 43 matnot dam. Mer says, Ketana miha, pigel ben birishona, ben bishina, ben shlishit, upolik. And Rabbi Meir nevertheless argues. And that would be then supportive of what seems to be the simple explanation of Rabbi Meir's opinion, which is that he allows you to be mfagel b'chatzi matir. Amar Rav Yitzchak for Avin, Hachamai Eskinan. Here the situation is gone shepigel bishchita, that the machshevet pigol took place while he was doing the shchita, the chad matir hu, because that's considered to be a single matir. What Rabbi Yitzchak for Avin is suggesting is that the din of shchita may be differentiated from that of the matnot dam. That is, if Rashi, you look over here, says, had the kamar Rabbi Meir pigel bishnia, Pigol kagon shenishpach adam b'chash gemar matnot shebifnim. What Rashi is introducing over here is something that's going to become apparent in the Gemara, and we're going to go through this a number of times, which is that if you are in the middle of processing the matnot dam that are done in Yom Kippur, and then you spill the dam, whether it was par or whether it was of the seir, and then you want to continue on. In order to continue on, you need to shecht the new animal, and then continue on from the next series. And what we have here are 4 series of matnot dam. So the Gemara on the second Amud today will discuss the fact that you might have 4 parim that you actually shecht each time after you've spilled the blood after that series. So you can actually have multiple shchitot over here. And so what Rashi explains over here is that if you spilled the dam and then you did a shchita, that shchita, whether it was associated with the Rishona, whether it was associated with the Shnia, or whether it was associated with the Shlishit, that shchita is considered to be a full matir. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says, if you have a machshevet pigul over here, then consider it to be a full pigul with regards to this. Even though each series of dam by itself, had you had the machshevet pigul during the series of matnot dam, then it would not work, because that would be mefagel v'chatzi matir, which according to Reish Lakish, even Rabbi Meir thinks is problematic. Nevertheless, if you have that machshava when you're doing the shechita, that would be differentiated. And so, since in each series, had you spilled the blood, you would start that next series over again, or if you completed one series, you would start the next series with a new shechita, that shechita is considered to be a single matir and an independent matir with regards to each of these situations. That's what Rashi explains over here. After you do a new shechita, become Rabbi Meir, dehau par, havi pigul, shari pigel bo ba'avudah shlema. The shechita is considered to be an avudah shlema. And since it's a full or complete avoda, if you have a machshevet pigul during that shechita, even though it's not for all the matnot dam that are being matir the korban or matir the avoda on Yom HaKippurim, nevertheless, that's a sufficient machshava to make the korban into a korban of pigul. So you have here actually an interesting dynamic, which is actually picked up by the Balei Tosafot in the Rashbam's explanation. Perish Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Balei Tosafot say, Rishat shechita chishev, al menat litein matnot shibifnim, kutz lizmano o matnot eichal o matnot de mizbeach. So Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam, says, you know what's really happening over here? He's having a machshava during shechita, and that machshava is for the matnot dam. Meaning that you can have a machshava during shechita, al menat lizroket adam chutz lizmano. And so what the Rishona, Shniyah, and Shlishit mean here is that he does one Shechita, and during that Shechita, he has one of these Makshavot. He has a Makshava about Rishona, the first series of Dam, which is Ben Abadim, to do that Chutz Lizmano. Or he has a Makshava when he's doing Shechita, to do the second series of Matnot Dam, which are those that are done before the Parochet. You have a Makshava to do that Chutz Lizmano. Or on the third series, which is to put the Dam on the Mizbeach Zahav, you have in mind to do that, chutz lizmano. So that's what the Rashbam says over here. The Rashbam just says the machshava is in shechita. There's only a single shechita over here. Just a question of what machshava you had during that shechita. So that's how the Rashbam explains it. The Balei Tosafot disagree because he says the rest of the Gemara, the remainder of the Gemara, cannot be explained according to the way that the Rashbam suggests over here. Because according to the Rashbam's explanation, it becomes later on very hard or almost impossible to explain the shita of the Chachamim that the Gemara is going to take up in a second. And therefore, he favors Rashi's interpretation. But Rashi's interpretation is that you had multiple shechitot over here. You have a shechita for each series of dam that you did. You spilled the blood in between each series, and therefore you needed a new shechita to start each series. That means that you have four shechitot over here in order to do the matnot dam. And what we're suggesting in the Gemara now is that if you do a shechita, that's considered to be a full matir, and it is deemed to be pigul. Whereas when it comes to the matnot dam, that's not true. If you have a machshevet pigul for some of them, that's not considered to be a pigul for the whole matir. And therefore, you have to explain what's the difference between shechita and the matnot dam. Why is the shechita considered to be a full matir, whereas the matnot dam are not considered to be a full matir? And the answer is the difference in the nature of shechita versus the matnot dam. The shechita comes to be matir, the zrikot adam. Purpose is to facilitate your ability to do the zrikot or the matnot dam. And therefore, when you do a shechita, the shechita has completed everything that needs to be done with regards to that shechita. Whereas when it comes to the zrikot adam, they are only matir, whatever comes afterwards, which is the haktarat emurim, in this case, for the korbanot of Yom HaKippurim. And that only happens once you've finished all of the Zrikot Dam, all the Matnot Dam. And so that's the difference in the nature of what they are providing. Shechita provides a facilitation to do a Zrikat Dam or Matnot Dam. Therefore, it's considered to be a full matir, even though you're going to do multiple Shechitot over here. But each Shechita takes care of whatever Matnot Dam that you do, that's what it was matir. And therefore, if you have a Makshava about it, that's considered to be a Makshava about a full matir. Whereas if you have machshavot about the zrikot or matnot dam, that's only having a machshava about part of a matir. So that's how Rabbi Yitzchak Rabin explains this Tosefta according to Rabbi Meir, in defense of Rish Lakish, saying that Rabbi Meir does not believe that you can be mefagel b'chatzi matir, and the reason that it works over here is because shechita is considered to be a full matir. But now that we've done such a good job at explaining Rabbi Meir's position, hihachi, my time in the Rabbonon. Then how do you explain the Rabbanon who argue on him? That's such a compelling understanding of the Tosefta, then why would the Rabbanon disagree with this position of Rabbi Meir? Seems right that they mefagel b'chol matir. Amarova man chachamim. Who are the chachamim in this Tosefta? Rabbi Eliezer. that's authored by Rabbi Eliezer, that's none. Rabbi Eliezer tells us in a Mishnah that we'll see in Menachot, HaKometz V'alevona V'aktoret U'minchat Kohenim U'minchat Kohen Mashiach U'minchat Nisachim She'ikriv Me'achat Mehem Kazait Bachutz Chayav. So we have a principle that anything that is Ra'oi Bifnim, that's something that would be appropriate to be put on the Mizbeach inside of the Mikdash, if you are makriv that chutz the Mikdash, then you're chayav for male bachutz. You're chayav karet based on the psukim in Parshat Achrei Mot. And here the Tanna Kamma tells you that any of these items, if you had a kazait worth of them that was placed on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that would be efficacious, that would be a proper bringing of that item. Therefore, if you're male kazait bachutz, you're going to be chayav. On the other hand, Rabbi Lezer Puter, ad she yikriv et kulan. You're only chayav if you put the entirety of the item on the Mizbeach Bachutz, not if you do it only a kazayit's worth. Even though a kazayit worth would be fine bifnim, and it should be then that you're chayav for Bachutz, Rabbi Eliezer believes that you have to have what's called a gemar avodah. And that's what Rashi explains over here. Rabbi Eliezer, he, amalav avodah hi, klau, ad she gmor kol avodah. It's not classified as an avodah until you complete the entire process. Ba'avagav d'haktarat kazayit havai haktara, he agrees that putting a kazayit worth on the Mizbeach is considered to be haktara. Nevertheless, for Rabbi Eliezer, yuhecha dolo gmar avodahu, lo choshiv la lechiyuvei ala b'chutz. Until it is the completion of a process, he does not consider it to be significant enough to be chayav imale b'chutz. That means that if it's the last kazayit of this item that could have been put on bifnim, if you put it on b'chutz, then you will be chayav. Or if it's the entirety of the item that would be put on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, if you put it out b'chutz, then it would be chayav. The idea being, and this is the Bali Tosafot suggests over here, it's a kal v'chomer. We know that with regards to male b'chutz, there are more chumrot than there are with regards to pigul. And Tosafot points out the evidence of the fact that male b'chutz is more chumrot than pigul is, by pigul you need to put on both matirim when it comes to a mincha, both the kometz and the levonah, in order to be chayav in pigul. By a lot of quotes, even Rabbi Lezer agrees if you just put the kometz, b'chutz, if you put the entire kometz there, you will be chayav. That's the chumra pigul over halah b'chutz. And if he tells us a din by halah b'chutz, certainly should be applicable by the case of pigul. And so if Rabbi Eliezer in the area of male b'chutz says that you need the entire item in order to be chayav in male b'chutz, certainly by pigul we'd have that same minimum requirement that you do the entirety of the process. And therefore this is going to be the basis for the shita of the chachamim. Until you complete everything that's involved in a process, you're not going to be chayav unless you're mefagel in that whole matir. So here, even though what we've done is split up the matno dam into four series, and you've shechted a separate animal for each one of those series, for Rabbi Meir, he says that's enough. Each shechita is a single entity. It's matir, the zrikot that come afterwards. That's a full matir. You can be mefagel. The chachamim, who are in the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, say you have to do all the shechitot b'machshev pigol, because any item or avoda that you're doing, it must be the complete part of that avoda. And in this case, shechita happens four times, and that means that shechita as a whole requires all four shechitot to be b'machshev pigol before you're going to end up with pigol. And that's why they call it mifagel b'chatzi matir. So based on Rabbi Eliezer's shita, the chachamim would say in this case that you are mifagel b'chatzi matir. And that will be the explanation of that Tosefta. Mar challenges that and says, V'amar Rava, didn't Rava say, Umode Rabbi Eliezer b'damim? The Rabbi Eliezer agrees when it comes to the matnot dam, that's not Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shimon omrim, Mimakom shepasat misham hu matchil. From the point that you stopped, that's where you begin. This is a machloket in the Gemara and Yoma with regards to when you spill the dam and you have to now continue doing the matnot dam, where do you start from again? Similar to the question that you have, for instance, if you make a mistake in Shmon Esrei. The Gemara in Brachot speaks about this with regards to a shatz that gets up there and gets stumbles or can't continue. So we have a replacement shatz that comes up, continue onward. Does he just pick up wherever the last shatz left off? Or does he start again from the beginning of that bracha? Because every bracha is considered to be a unit, and you can't start in the middle of a unit. So you have to go back to the beginning of the unit. Any unit that was already closed or finished, that we're fine with. But if you're in the middle of a unit, you can't start in the middle. You have to go back to the beginning. So the same question applies here with regards to the matnot dam. If, whatever reason, the dam spilled while you were doing the matnot dam, so if you're in the middle of series 1, middle of series 2, middle of series 3, where do you pick up the Matnot Dam? So there are two possibilities. One possibility is that you have to go back to the beginning of that series. Any series that you finished is considered to be done and completed. But if you're in the middle of a series and the dam spills, if you're now going to bring a new animal, you have to start from the beginning of that series. Or do we say you just pick up wherever you left off? So what the Gemara here is quoting the opinion of Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Shimon is, wherever you left off, then you continue onwards from there. So that means if you're in the middle of the Matnot Dam on the Parochet, you don't go back to the beginning of the Matnot Dam of the Parochet when you bring the new dam. You just start. If you've already done three of them out of the total eight that you need to do, you start at number four and you continue onwards because Misham Makom Shepasak, Mishamu Matril. And that would mean, as Rashi says now, if a single Matnot Dam is sufficient and you can continue onwards, and that means that both you'll be Chayab for that Behala Bachut, if you do a single of one of these, we call Dam Bachut, that would also mean that you could be Mifagel with a single Matnot Dam. Because each Matano of Dam is considered to be an entity unto its own. It's considered to be a Gemar Avodah. And that's why when you spill the Dam, you just pick up from wherever you left off. That has major implications both for Allah Bachutz, which means you're Chayab for every one of these Rikot Dam Bachutz, but also for Pigol, where a Machshev Pigol in any one of these items is a Mifagel in the whole, quote-unquote, Matir of that one Matan Dam, and that's clearly not the Shita of the Chachamim. The Baal Tosafot temper the question a little bit by saying, not that that really means that there's Pigol in each one of the Matan Dam, but rather it just undermines the Kal V'chomer, or the conceptual framework that we're using here, that Pigol is more chamor than Ma'ala Bachut. Clearly, the Chachamim can't subscribe to that view, extrapolating Rabbi Eliezer from Dam to the Dam of the Korban over here. Because the Tosefta clearly believes, according to the Chachamim, that you can't be Mefagel B'chatzi Matir. And included in that is the series of Damim that we're talking about here, the 43 Damim in Yom HaKippurim. If that's the case, then you clearly can't say it's a Kal V'chomer to Pigol. And then the whole reasoning, or the whole logic to use Rabbi Eliezer as the attribution here for the Shita of the Chachamim makes no sense. So now we have to drop this way of thinking, the suggestion of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avin that we're speaking about a case here of Shechita, and we have to move on to a different solution, El Amar Rava. Rava makes a different solution, going back now to try to help Reish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Meir, Kagon, Shepigel Berishona, Beshatak Bishnia, Bechazar, Upigel Bishlishit. It's a case where he was Mifagel in the first series, he was silent during the second series, and then he had a Machshev Pigol in the third series. So we say, here there's a little bit of a mess in the Girsa. You can take time and read it in Rashi. That's because the identical Gemara appears in Menachot. But the Gemara in Menachot starts with a different assumption. The Gemara in Menachot does not start with Reish Lakish's assumption, but rather with the assumption that Rabbi Meir Shita is based on Ein Mefaglim B'Chatzi Matir. And so then the questions in the Gemara there are different, meaning they're bringing the same questions and the same proofs, but they're going the opposite direction. Because there, the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Meir believes Ein Mefaglim B'Chatzi Matir, and they're challenging him from these same sources, but they're challenging him in the opposite direction. Here, the Gemara is using Reish Lakish's position, which is the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir is that Kol Oseh Adat Rishona Oseh, and therefore the questions come from a different perspective. And as Rashi points out, the Girsaot have to reflect that different perspective, and so that's why it's a little messy in the Girsa. But most of the Girsa now follows what Rashi indicates over here, which is Maudetainma. What you would have thought, Amrinan. We would say, Isa Gadatcha Adat Rishon Hu, Mahader Pigule Bishlishit Lomali. If you really believe that Rabbi Meir's position is based on the fact that if you are silent, then it continues the thought process that you had before, it becomes the default for the remaining matnot that you do, then why did you have to have a Machshevet Pigul on the third one? That's the Chiddush over here. The Chiddush over here is that you had a Machshevet Pigul in the first series, and then if you were silent for the remainder, according to Rabbi Meir, that would be a case of Pigul. You had a statement, and then we would apply that statement or that thought to the remaining Matnot Dam that are done. But in this scenario, what he did was he was silent during the second series, and then he spoke up and made a Pigul in the third series. If you really believe that it was Aldat Mishona, why did he bother to have a Machshevet Pigul in the third series? When he does that, you would possibly think that that undermines conceptually this idea that he's doing Adat Rishona. Because if he was doing Adat Rishona, just like he was silent during the second series, he should have been silent during the third series. The fact that he didn't do that might have undermined the fact that we say, Kol Oseh Adat Rishona Oseh, Kamash Malan, that that's not the case. And that's the Chiddush in this Tosefta, and so why it says Rishona, Shnia, and Shlishit. And that's the chiddush here, is that it was a machshev pigul in the first, silent in the second, and then a machshev pigul in the third. So matkifla Ravashi. The problem with Rava's explanation clearly is the language of the Tosefta. And that's what matkifla Ravashi, midei shatok toni. Where do you see the word shtika ever mentioned in the Tosefta? The Tosefta says that he pigel ben birishona, ben bishnira, ben bishlishit. Doesn't sound like there was shtika anywhere along here. Also doesn't really sound like necessarily that it happened in all three of these together. I mean, it sounds like it's either or. He had Makshev Bigul in the first, or on the second, or on the third. The way Rav has it is that he had it on the first and third, and he didn't have it on the second. How do you fit that really into the language of the Tosefta? El Amar Ravashi, Hachamai Eskinan, Kagon Shepigel Berishona, Ubishnia, Ubishlishit. He says that the case is that you had it in all three of them. That is a possibility. Sometimes you have that with regards to a vav. Vav can be either a vav a chibur, which means that it's and, or a vav can be a vav a chiluk, which means it's or. So you can read the Tosefta is not saying that ben berishona, ben bishnia, ben shlishit means in the first or the second or the third, but rather ben berishona, the first, uven shnia, and the second, uven shlishit, and the third. It's as if it said vegam, in addition to. So in all three of them, that you had a machshevet pigul. So mao de tema, what would you think over here? So then if a person, when they have a machshev pigul up front, you can then default that to the remainder of their actions. Then why did he bother to have a machshev pigul all the way along? Maybe that should undermine the concept and not work. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that. The problem in Ravashi Shita is, what are we worried about? Even the Chachamim in this case would agree. If you have a machshev pigul on everything, what's left that you didn't have machshev pigul on? You said here that you had machshev pigul on the first series, second series, and third series. What's left? So Rashi says, the fourth series, the matnot dam that are done on the top of the Mizbeach HaZahav. We said Ben Abadim is the first series, in front of the Parochet is the second series, the Karnot the Mizbeach HaZahav is the third series, the fourth series is the seven matnot dam that are done on the Tiaro Shel Mizbeach. So that's how Rashi explains it. Ravashi's pshita is that you had Machshev Pigul for the first three series, and you were silent in the fourth series. So if you really believed that he does call it Seh, Adar Rishonah Seh, why did he bother after the first series to have a Machshev Pigul in the second and third? That must mean that he's not thinking that way, or it's not going to work with extending it or extrapolating his thought as a default. And therefore, you would not apply it to the fourth series. Kamash Malon, the Chiddush is, that even if you had Machshev Pigul in the first three series, we apply that to the fourth series. That's how Rashi explains it over here. The Balei Tosafot are not so comfortable with that because of the fact that, where did you ever see that there was a fourth series mentioned? The Tosefta mentions three series and not four series. So how do all of a sudden do you have a situation in which we're speaking about four series when the Tosefta only mentioned three series? So that's why the Balei Tosafot are uncomfortable with Rashi's explanation, although again, we're going to see the case coming up on the second Amud today, where the Gemara says, oh, you know where this happens, or where this instance is? When you shecht four parim, or you shecht four seirim, which then would be supportive of Rashi's view here, that we're speaking about four different series, because you'd only need to shecht four separate animals if the dam spilled between each series, if you have four series. Otherwise, you'd only need three. So therefore, it's really supportive of Rashi's view. Despite that, the Balei Tosafot suggests over here that the Tosefta doesn't say four, it says three. He says, Revi'i mandakar shemei. Whoever mentioned the fourth series here, the Gemara never makes any mention of it. The Balei Tosafot actually bring an alternate view of Rashi, that the way Rashi explains the Gemara in Menachot, and over there Rashi says that he had a machshevet pigol v'rishonah b'shniyah, and then he was shtika b'shlishit on the third series over here. But then you'd have to explain then what's the difference between Ravashi's explanation and Rava's explanation. And he says that if you have a series where you have a machshevet pigol, then silence, and then a machshevet pigol, there you'd really have to explicate in the Braita that that's the scenario. In the case where it's pigol, pigol, and then shtika, that's a more plausible or simple type of series that maybe the Braita would not have to explain, or you could read that into the Braita, despite the fact that it's not written explicitly. So that's the way the Rashi deals with it in Menachot. The Balei Tosafot themselves have a difficulty with this. Therefore, the Balei Tosafot say it has to do with the Sheirei Adam. It's a leftover dam. We're going to see a machloket later on in the Masechta. It's going to be referenced just coming up in the Gemara later today, that there is a mandamar that believes that the Sheirei Adam, the remaining dam from the korbanot of Yom HaKippurim and the Seir Yom HaKippurim Parim Yom Kippurim, have to be placed on Yisod Ma'aravish or Mizbech Ritzon, there is a Deya that is Ma'akev. That's one of the Matnot Dam that is Ma'akev. If you don't do it, then you fail in terms of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, and you have to start again because you didn't complete it properly. There is another Deya, which obviously is that it's not Ma'akev. The Tosfot says that this is following the position that the Sharia Dam being placed on the Mizbech Ritzon is Ma'akev. Never had a Machshevet Pigul in the first three series. Third series includes the four Matnot on the Karnot Mizbech Zahav, as well as the seven on the Tiarosh Mizbech. What's left is the Sharia Dam. And that's what's Ma'akev. The only difficulty with the Tosfot's explanation is, the Tosefta says there were 43 Matnot Dam. If you believe that the Sharia Dam is Ma'akev, then there are really 44 Matnot Dam and not 43 Matnot Dam. Tosfot gets out of that by saying, well, even if you believe that the Sharia Dam is Ma'akev, you know it's differentiated from the Matnot Dam. It's not necessarily called Hazat Dam or Matnot Dam, and therefore the Tosefta only mentions 43, even though technically there are 44 if you include the Sharia Dam in this instance. So that's the way the Balei Tosafot explain how Ravashi Shita is going to fit in over here. All right, so now the Gemara continues and says, Vaha ben Ketani. Wait a minute, doesn't it say ben? Now, it had it written, Berishona ubishnia ubishlishit, then maybe Rabbi Ashi's explanation would be plausible. Because then you could say it's and instead of or. But when you use the word ben, ben means whether you did it here, whether you did it there, and it's very hard to explain that as an and. And therefore the Gemara says, Kasho, that is a question. It's not a tiyufta. Tiyufta would be a complete refutation of the position. Kasha is, it's very difficult. You could get over that and say, like we explained before, that when you say ben, uben, uben, it's like vegam, 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 and therefore you could explain it as an ant. It's not the simplest way to explain the Tosefta, but you could explain it that way. And so therefore the Gemara leaves it as a kasha. That's a strong question against this explanation of Rav Ashi. And again, that is then a problem for Rish Lakish in the explanation of Rabbi Meir, because now we have a Tosefta that seems to indicate otherwise. We tried to answer on behalf of Rish Lakish in his explanation of Rabbi Meir, and we ended up with a dochak explanation. That's what the Gemara is concluding over here. So Amar, now the Gemara is going back to discuss this position of Rabbi Meir. So as Rashi notes over here, the Gemara here is now challenging the one who said that Rabbi Meir's position is based on Mefaglim b'chatzi matir. So now we had a question on Rish Lakish's position. Medocha can explain him in the Tosefta, but it seems much more apropos to explain Rabbi Meir as being Mefaglim b'chatzi matir. But once you do that, the Gemara now says, let's look at Rabbi Meir's psak in the Tosefta as to whether that's really plausible if you say that Mefaglim b'chatzi matir. Rabbi Meir omer, pigul v'chayivin alav karet. That is considered to be pigul and your chayav karet. Michtei karet lo mechayev ad shiyikarvu kol matirav. One is not chayav karet until you do the whole process properly. Da amar mar, because we already quoted this earlier in the Masechta, karatzat kasher karchatzat pasul. When it comes to pigul, just like you would process the korban when it was kasher and done properly, that's the way you have to do it in order for the psul or for the pigul to take effect. Maratzat kasher ad shiyikarvu kol matirav. In order for a korban to be kasher, all the matirim have to end up on the Mizbeach properly. That's the way you get it so that the Korban can be eaten, or that which goes on the Mizbeach can be placed on the Mizbeach. Avartzat pasul. So too, when you want to generate pigul, that is chutz lezmano, that would be chayav karet, then achi karvu kol matirav. You have to put all the matirim on the Mizbeach. Now, v'ha, kevin dechoshiv be'bifnim, since he had a machshevet pigul in the first series of damim that he did, ben abadim, psula, then everything is psula. Kamandalo adi domi. It's as if he didn't do any of those matnot dam. Kihader madi be'echal. When he then does that zot dam in the echal, means in front of the parochet, maya ba'almahu deka adi. Then it's as if the equivalent of him sprinkling water after that point in time. Since over here you can divide these series into discrete parts, what the Gemara is saying is that whenever you have a machshevet pigul, that pigul renders whatever you're doing now to be pasul. Well, of course, it's pasul because that you had a machshevet pigul. But the problem with making it pasul is if you have to do other things afterwards. So in this case, you have all these different series of matnot dam that you are doing. So now, when you do the matnot dam, we consider it as if that matnot dam is problematic. But because you have machshevet pigul, the Torah says that's still considered to be a machshava there. But then when you move on to the next series, the second series requires that there be a first series before it. But you failed to do the first series because you had a machshevet pigul during the first series. And if that's the case, what you're doing afterwards is no different than sprinkling water It's not like you're sprinkling dung. If that's the case, then you don't have karev matirav ke hartzat kasher. It means that you're not completing the korban properly. If you don't complete the korban properly, then how do you ever end up with a situation of pigul and chayav alav karet? So it's a very fundamental question about the issue of pigul. They're doing it in Rabbi Meir's position because he's the one who says here that you're pigul v'chayav karet, and we're dealing with a large series of mandal dam that are all dependent on each other. One can't happen before the one before that it happens. And if you have a machshev pigul, you're going to make it pasul. So as Rashi explains over here, if you believe that kol ha'oseh al dat rishona hu oseh, then he's no different than the chachamim. You have then have a machshev pigul throughout this whole matir, and now you can understand why it works. But if you believe mefaglim b'chatzi matir, then why, when you have a machshev pigul and a portion of it, and that doesn't necessarily have to apply to the remainder of it, why don't we have now a korban pasul when you're continuing the processing, and in that continuation of the processing, you're just dealing with water and not blood, and then if you ever get to pigul, because you don't have chatzat pasul, chatzat kasher. Now, the truth is that that runs into a problem that Rashi already raises over here, which is, even in the first series of dam, when you're doing it ben abadim, if you have a machshev pigul on the first matnat dam, then why aren't the remaining seven that you do, ben abadim, also just considered like you're sprinkling water? Why are we asking, well, if you had that machshava during the time you were in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that's going to affect you when you go to the Eichal. Even within the Kodesh HaKodeshim, if you have a machshev pigul on any one of those matnot dam, anything that comes after it in the Kodesh HaKodeshim should also be considered like sprinkling water. Yes, it would be true in any other korban, except for the fact that by every other korban, you only need one matan dam. Remember that when it comes to Beit Hillel's opinion with the Chatat, and everybody's opinion with other korbanot, once you get a single matnat dam on the Mizbeach, b'diavad, korban is kosher and can be eaten, and the emurim go on the Mizbeach. So when you have your makshev pigul on that matana, that's the end of the matnot dam that need to be on the Mizbeach. Everything else is lechatchila, but in the b'diavad, they don't matter. So at that point, you've done the hatzat kasher. You've done what you needed to do, because you got the what matana. Here, you have a series of matnot dam that need to be matir the korban. Oh, so Rashi asks your question. Go to your question since you asked it, and then we'll come back to the question I just raised over here. Rashi asks over here, the bishlama mefagel b'shchita, v'hadar zarak le, o b'machshava, o b'shtika, and then you do this record afterwards, whether silent or with a machshev epigol, avagav de pasle, didn't he make it pasul? So that's your question, Josh, which is, if you have machshev epigol by shchita, what's there to talk about the remainder of the korban? Then you're doing matnot dam that are all pasul. Even the fagel be'avuda, v'shuv lo tzibo machshev pasul acher, afu b'shizrikat damo dam pasul, even the rabbi rachman epigol b'shchita, since the Torah told you that by shchita there is a concept of pigol, as we explained in the Perek Rishon, akorchachach v'hachi amar rachmano. So that's how the Torah has to allow it to happen. The pigol v'zrikah zo, k'mo shi miratzeh the pigolo, v'chein l'rabonon, to bow machshava b'kulei zrika, similarly for the rabbanon who require machshava pigol in the whole zrika. What Rashi is suggesting over here is, the Torah says there's a concept of pigol by shchita, there's a concept of pigol by zrika. And for the rabbanon by zrika, that means all the zrikot, and by the Torah's explanation for everybody by shchita, that means that you can have pigol by shchita. Well, the only way, if the Torah says you can have pigol by shchita, is to say you had a machshev pigol by shchita, and then you continued on with the avodot. And even though technically those avodot are pasul, the gzeirat hakatuv is that they're deemed to be pigul, because that's the Torah says you can have pigul by machshev shchita. Otherwise, it would be impossible to ever have pigul by shchita. But Rashi says over there, it's a necessary continuation in order to complete what the Torah says is pigul, is that you have to assume that all the matnot dam that are done afterwards, even though they're psulim, that makes the korban into a korban of pigul. And similarly for the chachamim, by the zrikah, since they say all the zrikot dam, all the matnot dam are makev one at the other, so therefore they say, as soon as you have a mashev pigul by any of them, continue on, you would have a korban that's pasul, but if you do have a mashev pigul by all of them, then you clearly are going to have a pigul on your hands. Even though you had a makshev pigul on the first one, if you continue to have a makshev pigul throughout them, since zrikah can have a makshev pigul, as long as you have that makshev pigul throughout the whole thing, then we're going to deem it to be pigul. But, according to Rabbi Meir, according to the one who says that kol ha'oseh al dat rishona oseh, Rabbi Meir doesn't look very different than the Rabbanan, because then you really had a makshev pigul throughout the whole zrikot adam here. The other hand, if you believe that you can be mefagel v'chatzi matir, and all of a sudden you have a problem here, because if you have a machshev pigul anywhere along the way, then what happens after that point in time? How do you have a kasher zrika to complete the process that's not incorporated in the gzeret hakatuv? That's not incorporated in what the Torah says is going to be pigul. You can make pigul even in a chatzi matir. If that's the case, then how do you get remaining zrikot to be zrikot that are kshirim? Rabalia Tosafot over here, quote Rashi, v'teretz tahatam gzeret hakatuvu, says that by shchita, it's a gzeret hakatuvu, or by kmitza, it's a gzeret hakatuvu. That's basically what Rashi said, that the avoda that is done with the machshavet pigul, we classify it as being a full-fledged avoda, and then you can continue onwards from that. Then the Baal Tosafot asked the question that we asked before, which is, well then, if you have a machshavet pigul halfway through the hazot that are in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, why doesn't that create a problem? So Rashi's answer to that in the Gemara in Menachot is that he had the machshava on the last of the Matnot Dam. So that means that when the Gemara over here says that he had a machshavet pigul go on the Kodesh HaKodeshim and then he can't go on to the Heichal, that was when he had a machshavet pigul on the last Matana in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So then the first seven were done properly. It was the eighth one that was done improperly. But Ein Ochanami, had he done the first of those eight problematically, that would also be a problem over here. And we have the same question even for the Matanot that are done inside of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Tosafot gives a different answer, which is that the Matanot that are done Ben Abadim are all dependent on each other. For instance, if the blood spilled in the middle of that, according to the Tanaim that believe you have to start again from the beginning, that means until you've completed that series, the Pigul doesn't take effect. The Pigul can't take effect unless you've completed that series, unless you have actually a unit that has actually happened or been completed. So therefore, if you have a machshavet pigul then, it's not tofes until you finish all the matnot there. But that's not true when it comes to the next series. The next series in the Heichal, which you do lifnei haparochet, that series is not dependent necessarily on that which happened in Ben Abadim. It's dependent on it for order, because you have to do them kisidran, but it's not dependent on them, because if the dam spills in between them, you would bring a new par and you would start from the matnot that are in the Heichal and not start from those that are in the Ben Abadim. So the fact that that's considered to be a unit or a completed unit, therefore, when you have a machshavet pigul in the middle, it's not posel, it doesn't make it into pigul until you finish that series out. Therefore, even if you had a machshavet pigul in the beginning, it still would be effective in that case. The Rabbi Tosafot, who sees difficulty in both of these answers of Rashi, then offer a third alternative, which is the Rabbi Tosafot themselves quote the Rabbeinu Tam Shita, and the Rabbeinu Tam believes that there's only a problem when you are in two different places. He says, Rabbeinu Tam Efresh, Debechad Makom Pshitalei, Dor Minan Maya Ba'almahu. If you're in a single location, then we don't worry about it being called water. As long as you're still doing an avoda in a single location, that Makshevet Pigul does not change the dam into water at that point. The problem becomes when you move to a second location. So if you started out in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, even if you had the first Makshevet Pigul, the remaining of those Matnot Dam are still considered to be fine because they're all within the context of that one avoda that you're doing. But as soon as you move to the Eichal and now you're starting a new series of avoda, then if you had a Machshavet Pigul there, it would cause you a problem when you move out to the Kodesh or into the Eichal. So that's how the Rabbeinu Tam solves the problem, by saying that it is only in two different places do we have a problem. In a single location, Machshavet Pigul does not ruin whatever you're doing. It's just part and parcel of the avoda that you're doing. Rashi, on the other hand, answers the Menachot, that you can only have a machshavet pigul in the last of that series in order for it not to be pasul in that area. So now the Gemara says, so Amarava, Mishkachat law, the case can be ba'arba'a parim u'bedalid si'irim. So this is where Tosafot said that Rashi might be right here, because the Gemara says you need four parim here and four si'irim. Well, why does the Gemara require four? It should be sufficient with three, according to the Baal Tosafot, because there's no fourth series according to the Baal Tosafot. That's likely why Rashi came up with four series on the Gemara on the previous Amud, just because the Gemara here says you need four parim and dalid zirim. The truth is that the Baalei Tosafot point out that you don't even need four parim and four zirim, you just need two. You need one for the matnot that were done in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and then you need one more for all the remaining hazaot that are done. Just the Gemara is pointing out that you can have up to four different series or four different items, and that's why the Gemara here mentions four, not because it was absolutely necessary here, but it's just to show you that that's the maximum amount of differentiation that you can have here, is that you have four different series. So Rav Amar, afilu tema b'parachat b'sa'ir achad. That is true, even if you have one par or one sa'ir, lefigulo miratzeh. Or in essence, what Rav is saying is that it's a gzeret hakatuv. Gzeret hakatuv is when you have a machshevet pigul that allows you to continue onwards to create the pigul, but it certainly won't allow you to go onwards to create a kosher korban. And if you have any pasul machshava after that, that will also undermine the pigul, just like it would undermine a korban kasher. So whenever you have a machshav pigul, we pretend as if it's still kasher, and we allow you to continue onwards. And if you do continue onwards in that way, you will generate the pigul, and if it's consumed, there'll be chayav karet. That's what Rashi says. Kihei the chosha b'shchita, we consider it to be kasher for the zrikat adam that comes afterwards, even though it's pasul, it's considered to be as if karvu matirav. You'll say the same thing with regards to zrikat adam. And even if you have a machshava on chatzi of the zrika, and then you're silent about the other chatzi zrika, as long as you don't have any other machshava psul involved, then machshava pigol is the equivalent of ritzui. Or in essence, what Rava is saying is the gzerat akatuv is, that a machshevet pigul is the equivalent of a machshevet kasher, but it just has a problem with pigul. Pigul does not undermine the korban automatically. It will undermine the korban if you continue to process it properly. But if you don't process it properly, then it will become pasul and not pigul. You will never get a kosher korban anymore. It is pasul, and if you continue to process it, you will never make this korban kasher. But for pigul, in of itself, in its own world, you can continue on with the korban and you can create pigul. That's it's a internal world of pigul. That's what Rava is saying. Within the internal world of pigul, even though it's pasul and the korban will never be kasher, if you continue on and process it either with machshevet pigul or silent about it, then you're going to end up with pigul and you're going to be chayav karet if you consume such a korban. So now the Gemara asks, arba'im v'shalosh. The Tosefta says there are 43 matnot dam. V'atanya, don't we have another brayta that says arba'im v'sheva? There are 47. Hakaman damar mi'arvin lekarnot. Hakaman damar in Maravim the Karnot. This is a machloket that we're going to see later on in the Gemara between Rabbi Shai and Rabbi Yonatan as to whether you mix the Dama Par and the Dama Seir to do the Matnot and the Mizbeach Zahav. When it comes to the Matnot that are done in the Kodesh HaKodeshim and in the Heichal in front of the Parochet, everybody agrees you do those separately. But then the Pasuk says, V'lakach mi Dama Par mi Dama Seir. You take from the Dama Par and the Dama Seir. The question is, what does that mean? Does that mean V'lakach mi Dama Par and then v'lakach midama seir? Or does that mean literally lakach midama par umidama seir? You mix them together and then process them. There's an opinion that you mix the dama par and the dama seir. After you've mixed them, you do the four matnot on the karnot mizbeach zav, and then you do the seven on tiarot shel mizbeach. There's another opinion that you take the dama par, you do four matnot on the karnot, then you take the dama seir, and then you do the four matnot there, and then afterwards you mix them. And after you mix them, then you do seven on the TRO Shel Mizbeach. So everybody agrees for the TRO Shel Mizbeach, the last seven that you mix them. The machloket is whether the Karnot on Mizbeach Zav get separate for the Dama Seir and the Dama Par, or they're done together when they're mixed together. So if you have them mixed together, then you only have four matnot on the Karnot. That gets you the total of 43, like we enumerated before. If you think the Dama Par and Dama Seir are separate, you do four for the Dama Par, and then additional four for the Dama Seir, so that's 43 plus four, that's 47, and that's how you get the number 47 in the Braita. But everybody agrees that when it comes to the Tiarot Shel Mizbeach, you do mix the Dama Par and Dama Seir. That's because the Torah specifies there are seven Hazot that are done. Seven Hazot can only be done if you mix them together. If you don't mix them together, then you have 14 Hazot and not seven Hazot. The rest of the Karnot and Mizbeach, it doesn't give a number. It just says Karnot, which is a plurality. Whether it's two, four, eight, those are all considered to be put on the Karnot and Mizbeach. So even if you do them separately and you end up with eight Matnot because you have four and four, that's still included or can be subsumed under that requirement of the Torah to place on the Karnot on Mizbeach. V'atanya arba'im u'shmoneh. Don't we have a braita that says 48? Hakaman damar sheirayim me'akvin. So this is what we discussed in the Bayit Tosafot in the Amud Aleph. The 48 is based on the opinion that even the sheirei adam are me'akev. He holds like the one that says you do the dama par and dama seir separately. So that gets you an extra four matnot on the Karnot and Mizbeach Zahav, that's 47. And if the Shari Damar Me'akev, that gets you to 48. Hagaman Damar, Ein Shemarim Me'akvin. And the one that says 47 is according to the one who says that the Shari Adam being placed on the Mizbeach Chitzon, on the Yisod HaMaravi, is not Me'akev, and therefore he only gets to 47, not to 48. Alright, now the Gemara brings a question. Meitevei, Bameh Dvarim Amurim. So when is this considered to be true? Again, this is a Tosefta from Menachot. Bikmitza bimatan kli ubihiluch. That is true when you're doing the kmitza, or you put it into the kli sharet ubihiluch, or you take it to the mizbeach. Aval balo lahaktara. When it comes to the haktarat hakometz on the mizbeach, natanet hakometz bemachshava v'eta levona b'shtika. If you place the kometz on the mizbeach with a machshevet pigol, but you put on the levona silently, oshen natanet hakometz b'shtika. Or you put the kometz on the mizbeach silently without any machshava, v'et levona b'machshava, and the levona you have a machshavat chutz lizmano. Rabbi Meir omer pigul v'chayavin alav karet. The mayor says that is considered to be pigol, and there is karet. V'chamim omim, ein bo karet, ad shifagel b'chol ha-matir. Chamim, consistent with their opinion, say that you can't create a pigol unless you have a machshav about the whole matir. So here, what the Tosefta is suggesting is that when it comes to kmitza, or the matan kli, or the hiluch, all of those items are done singularly, which is that they all apply to the komets. And since they all apply to the komets, then you can have a machshavet pigul there, and you will render the korban pigul. The problem is, once you get the haktara, there's an additional matir that's required, and that is that you require the haktarat ha-komets, as well as the haktarat ha-levona. The Gemara Menachol will discuss why, whether the matan kli and the hiluch don't apply to the levona, but assuming that that is the case, then the only time that you have both items that are the matir for the korban mincha, which is that you have to put two things on the mizbeach, in order for the shiraim of the mincha to be mutar v'achila l'kohanim, and that is you have to place the komets on the mizbeach, and you have to place the frankincense, the levona, that comes with it, on the mizbeach. If you only have a machshava in one of those two items, then that's what you call mifagel v'chatzi matir. It's a machshavet pigul with half of the matir. So here, what the Tosefta says is, the chachamim clearly say, if you have a machshavet pigul, either by the komets or by the levona, that is not sufficient. You need to have a machshavet pigul by both of them. Otherwise, we're going to say that it is pasul and not pigul and chayav karet. On the other hand, here, Rabbi Meir says that this is considered to be pigul. Now, if you believe that Rabbi Meir's shita is premised on mefaglim b'chatzi matir, it's easy to understand what he's saying over here. If you believe, like Reish Lakish, that Rabbi Meir's opinion is based on kol ha'oseh, avdat rishonah ha'oseh, now you have a difficulty in this Tosefta. Because the Tosefta gave two examples. It gave an example where you put the komets on with the machshavet pigul, and then you had shtika. But the second example was that you had komets b'shtika, and a levona b'machshava. That means that the shtika preceded the machshavet pigul, and that would not work for Reish Lakish's opinion within Rabbi Meir. And that's what the Gemara standing is challenging here. Ketani mihat, et the komets b'shtika, v'et levona b'machshava. Upalig, and Rabbi Meir still argues over there, that makes it sound that Rabbi Meir's position is premised on mefaglim b'chatzi matir, and not Reish Lakish's view that kol oseh avdat rishona oseh. Where it says, Eima kvar natan et elovona b'machshava. Don't read it the way that you thought, or the simple way of reading it. But when it says here, shenatan et hakomets b'shtika v'et elovona b'machshava, that's not the order, but it's rather telling you that he put on the komets b'shtika after he already had a machshavet pigul by the levona. In essence, the two examples are here that you had a machshavet pigul by the komets, and then you did the levona b'shtika, or vice versa. You had a machshavet pigul by the levona, and afterwards you put the komets on b'shtika. Gemara rejects that understanding of the Tosefta for two reasons. Chada, dehainu reisha. That's no difference than the reisha. Why do you have to tell me that if you do the komets first, or the levona first, by machshavet pigul, and then you have shtika afterwards, and that's considered to be pigul, there's no difference between the komets and the levona. There's no order on how you put them on mizbeach. There's no order. We should be indifferent as to which one you put on first. That's the case. If you had a machshavet pigul on the first one, shtika on the second one, you don't have to give me two examples of that. That's number one. Bod, v'atanya, v'acharkach. Either you have to read this into the Tosefta that we have here, which is that it says that the komets b'shtika v'et alavona b'machshava, which makes it sound like that's afterwards. Or what the Gemara is saying is that we have another braita that explicitly says v'acharkach. That says that afterwards, that he had a machshav on levona, and then you can't explain what we did into this brayta, this Tosefta. Kasha, that is a strong question against Rabbi Shlakish's opinion within Rabbi Meir, because here it seems very clear that even if you were shtika in the first place and had the machshav pigul on the back end, that that still generates pigul, and the only way to explain that within Rabbi Meir's opinion is to say that it is mifaglim bechatzi matir. And that would be problematic for Reish Lakish's opinion within Rabbi Meir. And we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Membet Amud Bet.